Welcome to episode number 138.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast. And no matter what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome or a towable trailer or a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting a recreation vehicle someday, this show is for you because here we talk about being out there, enjoying God's amazing creation and meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So welcome to the RV Lifestyle Podcast. We're honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, welcome to episode 138, this issue being released on May 3rd, 2017. But as we say, it's evergreen, meaning the things we talk about today are good to listen to far into the future. You know, the recreation vehicle industry, if you've been following the press about this, everybody from the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, to network TV, everybody's taken note that the industry is booming. And there's just no doubt about it. It's booming fast, and it is also changing. Now, if you've been out on the roads and camping in your RV, you know that there are a lot of changes out there. Not all of them are good. With that growth and change have come new challenges, but also a lot of new opportunities. And in this week's interview, we are going to sit down with Jim Hamill, the CEO of the Irwin Heimer Group of North America, which is the corporate owners of Road Trek Motorhomes. Jim is he's a very straight-talking, shoot-from-the-hip kind of guy who tells it like it is. And coming up in the interview segment of the podcast, you're going to hear how the trends that are shaping the RV industry are impacting your RV lifestyle. Plus, we've got some reader questions, some great tips, traveling with technology information, and a fun off-the-beaten-path report. All of that in episode 138 of the RV Podcast. I should point out that everything we talk about today, you can find resources and links to the things that we mention in our show notes, and they are always part of the roadtrekking.com blog. And you can go to the direct show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/138. Right now, time for my lifelong traveling companion and my bride to come on aboard and join us on the podcast. Hello, dear.
Hello, Jennifer. Hello, Michael.
Well, how's Jennifer this morning? This evening?
I'm doing great.
I really don't know what time it is. Should we tell them that if we weren't RVers, we'd be calling ourselves jet setters?
Right.
This has been a crazy,
week. Jet set a little bit. We flew out to Arizona.
Yeah. Back. Yeah, we were out at the big Super B RV, small RV show out in Glendale, Arizona at the University of Phoenix Stadium. Had a great time, but boy, we flew out to that because we had another commitment. We had to leave in the RV on Monday morning. So we flew out last Wednesday, the day of our last of episode 137 was released. Got there, worked all day Thursday, Friday, Saturday, flew back Sunday
night.
And you did a quick load of wash. We loaded the RV and off we left Monday morning. And we're down now on the Gulf Coast of Florida and enjoying what looked like a beautiful day today. We didn't spend a lot of time outdoors, but we'll get ourselves ready to go and hopefully we'll do it. But it's been crazy, huh?
It's been a little busy.
That was a fun show.
I enjoyed it. It was worth attending.
We met so many of you who came. Some of you came from far as away as Salt Lake City. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our friend Randy and his wife, Cherry, we enjoyed visiting them from Salt Lake City. We met Lisa. Lisa's from Vancouver, I think, and was on a trip that took her down into the Southwest. She heard we were there, and she came by. And many, many others.
Jim, who you'll meet, he's got a great tip.
Jennifer is always at work at these things. We meet everybody, and she picks up tips from everybody, and we got one from Jim. And I've interviewed the big Jim Hamill from Road Track. Plus, we interviewed three or four other people that we met at that show that we'll be sharing those interviews over future podcasts. Had a great time. Very impressed with the people at La Mesa RV out there. They're wonderful folks.
They are. Lots of stock, lots of smaller RVs,
yeah,
lots of things to choose from.
The whole show was nothing but Class B and small RVs, some Class Cs in there. But Jason Kimbrell and his crew from La Mesa RV, they're in four states, 12 different stores, I think. Thank you for making us all feel so welcome out there as well. So we had fun. And then, of course, there was the drama of Jennifer's mishap. Why don't you tell them what happened?
Well, I was having lunch and I decided I wanted to push the chair next to me over a little bit so that I could move over. And the chair was on cement and it had a rubber bottom, and I put my hand on it as such. I gave it a push and my weight kind of went forward. The chair didn't move any place and the chair snapped up and got my left hand. Broke a bone.
We have shared some pictures. I think I took a picture. Well, you didn't do anything. That was Friday.
That was Thursday.
Thursday,
I was doing my best to ignore it. It was swelling up. And then Friday, it just kept swelling more and it was starting to hurt. And so Saturday, we went to the ER and had it x-rayed. And there's just a small crack in it.
It's a fracture.
Yeah.
And you've got an appointment now to go get a hard cast, I think, probably put on
and
it. But
with any luck, I won't need a hard cast. But
we hope. Yeah.
But our son, the doctor, told me that I would need a hard cast for 4 to 6 weeks, which is going to limit me with the things I want to do. But
you're
life
be a
is
little,
life.
A little
could
cranky.
Be, could be a lot worse.
And not lifting weights, it's going to make you cranky. I can tell. I can
yeah,
see this happening.
And I had 2 days of workshops that I wanted to go to because I wanted to get certified, renew my certification for aqua aerobics, and this is going to keep me out of the water.
Well, maybe not. Maybe they'll have something they can put over it to keep it.
You know,
we'll
it is what it is.
Hey, it is what it is. That's the truth. But anyway, you were a real trooper. I was amazed that you made it back Saturday. Moments after leaving the hospital there with your soft cast on there, you were doing a live Facebook Live video. And we did three of those from the show, and it was fun. So anyway, that was great. And now we're down on the Gulf Coast, our favorite area, and the Florida Panhandle. This is a very sweet time to be here. The Easter rush, spring break is over. The weather is like picture postcard perfect. But most schools are still in session, so there's not a ton of tourists down here. That'll all change as the southern schools begin to close over the next few weeks and more families start vacationing. But right now we've got perfect weather. And
No traffic,
not big crowds, and this is great.
And I love it.
Yeah.
And I'm not coming back when everybody else is here.
No, we'll take off before Memorial Day, and then we won't show back up. Well, we got our big trip west and every place else we're headed. So, all right, are you getting ready to get to work?
I am.
All right, time for Jennifer's tip.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
One of the fun things about visiting RV shows like the Super B Small RV show that Mike and I attended this past weekend in Glendale, Arizona, is visiting with other RVers and sharing tips and suggestions. So it was with one of our listeners named Jim who came out to meet us and offer this tip. When you're out there on the road, it's bound to happen to you sometime. Something's going to break and you call the big RV service places and they can't get you in for a couple days, maybe a week. But we've got a friend, Jim, here who's going to share a tip what to do when that happens.
Well, we had an experience where our water faucet started leaking all over the place, and I was able to close all the water off, but then, of course, you can't use it. And we went to Camping World, and they weren't able to squeeze us in at all, so we're going to have to wait a day or two before they could get to it. So we just bought a faucet there at Camping World, and then we continued on our trip. And that night, we stopped at an RV resort, like we usually do. When I was at the counter, I noticed there was a cards in there, you know, we'll service your RV on site, you know, and it was just fantastic. The guy came out to our site, and he just replaced the faucet. He had all the tools, and it was all done. Everything was fine, and never had a problem with it since. Something you might want to consider, little stuff breaks. And this guy told me that he works a lot on slides, like the slides don't go in and out, and that he takes service calls on those. He used to be in the business of being a repair person. at a dealership, but he went out on his own, and he's been doing really well with this type of service.
That is a great tip. And even if you're handy at fixing things, you don't have all those tools with you to do it yourself. And there's a lot of people out there, those entrepreneurs. Let's support them and get back on the road.
Very good. Yes, I agree.
That is a great tip. We've used mobile repair services before, and they are real. They kind of know everything.
They do, and they really helped us out. Came in and got us rolling again.
They did. That was great.
And be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the Leaf voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my email inbox. I love hearing from you.
Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes. Rad Power Bikes, R-A-D, powerbikes.com, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, now with free shipping. Rad Power Bikes offers a number of different models, and they're really neat. These little e-bike models, they can meet all sorts of specific needs that you might have for getting around on an e-bike, but they're all perfect for RVers. They all can reach speeds of 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. All of their models give riders the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle, or you can utilize five different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, or a combination of the two. They're perfect for people who want to get back into riding, are recovering from surgery or injury, or are looking for that little extra boost to keep up with friends and family. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. You'll see many of these Rad Power Bikes as you travel around in your RV this summer and visit various campgrounds. They're perfect for scooching around the campground, even running some errands. The beauty about dealing with Rad Power Bikes, besides the quality of their bikes, is that they're often priced at less than half that of comparable bikes on the market because that whole dealer retail markup chain is cut out. You deal directly with them, and if you mention Road Trekking at checkout, you'll get an additional $75 off plus free shipping on all their bike models. Visit radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. This is Sharon. We have a Class B RV, and we do not have an inverter so that we could use an outlet while we're driving along. Last week, Steve Van Dinter was talking about the Energizer cup inverter that Verizon now has. I was wondering, is it possible to use the AC outlet on that to plug in a crock pot for, say, 6 to 7 hours, either while we were driving or parked when the RV was not plugged in? And if it wasn't plugged in, would it run down the battery while we were using the crock pot? Thank you.
Well, unfortunately, that particular inverter that Steve mentioned last week will not do the job for your crock pot. This is a very small little inverter. It's called the Energizer Cup Inverter. I'll put a link in the show notes for this episode so you can learn more about it. And it's offered by Verizon. It's a really great one. You can plug it, you can hold it in the little cup holder that you have on your dashboard, and you can power up all your laptops and charge them and your cell phones. But that's just a minuscule amount of power that requires. Maybe it would draw 25 watts over a couple hours if the laptop was off. Your crock pot is an energy hog. I mean, think about it. It's slow cooking. It uses a heating element that needs a pretty good hunk of power. There are two settings on most crock pots. The smallest one I've found is something like 225 watts, and then it goes as high as 312, 315 watts. So you can, that's on the high setting. So you can see that little inverter that only will put out maybe just enough to charge a couple of laptops and stuff, that one that Steve talked about, that's not going to do it. You need a bigger inverter. And I'll tell you what, I'll put a link to an inverter guide for those of you who have RVs that don't have inverters. I'll put a link to a guide that will help you choose the right size one for you. But the little portable ones are not going to run that crock pot. You need a bigger inverter. So I check that out. That'll be on the show notes page for this episode, which is roadtrekking.com/138. That cook in the crock pot, though, as you drive, is a pretty nice thing to do. A lot of people like that since we started talking about that a couple years ago.
We used to be able to do it, and now the crock pots that I find don't have a long enough cord to plug in, and you don't want to use an extension cord.
Yeah, they've got like a 2-foot cord.
How about a foot?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. And we like to put the crock pot, you put it in the sink so it's not rattling around, and as you turn, it's not going to tip over. And it's only got like a foot cord, so it doesn't reach. You know, in a kitchen, you want to have your cores away from the water source. So, in the galley of our RV now that we use, we can't do it because. And I don't want to run the crock pot on an extension wire.
Right.
That's not good because it does take a lot of power. So, anyway, I hope that helps. It is fun to cook while you move, but it is a little harder if you don't have the crock pots that we've seen. Just have that very short cord.
They used to have long cords, and now they have very short cords. Maybe they're trying to save us from ourselves since we're putting our crock pot in the sink.
Maybe that's the case. They heard about it. All right. Hey, we got a really nice call of just excitement that some of our readers want to, our listeners want to share about being brand new to the RV lifestyle. Let's listen to this one.
Hi, Jen and Mike. It's Ron and Jan LeClair from Rhode Island. We just picked up our TS Adventurous in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and we're driving home. We're in Virginia now, just drove through the Smoky Mountains, and we absolutely love it. We watch your podcast a lot and have learned a lot from you. Take care. Hope to hear from you.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great?
I mean, it's like calling mom and dad.
Yeah, mom, we got
it. Ron and Jan are calling us. Hey, mom and dad.
We got it.
That's what we did.
Yeah, well, congratulations, and I can't wait to hear all the adventures that you're going to have, and you can hear the excitement in your voice as you picked up that new RV and are heading off. That is awesome, and we love hearing that kind of stuff. We had fun talking with a lot of people at the RV show. A lot of people shopping for RVs, and I did a blog post on it. If you're one of those who wants to get into this lifestyle and you haven't done it yet, when I talk to people at RV shows, I always ask them, well, why are you waiting? And there's like five common excuses I hear. And I did a whole blog post on them, but the bottom line is it's obviously some people, you really can't afford it at that point, or there are really, you know, tangled circumstances in your life where you just can't do it. But for many others, you could get into this lifestyle, and you could hear the excitement in our caller's voice there. So
if anybody's a bit reluctant and they want permission, all they have to do is call you, and you will give them permission.
I have given you permission. Go out and do it. How much time do you have to waste? I mean, you know, you say someday, but someday may never come. Now, you heard Ron and Jan, they're just sharing their excitements. Their someday has come. Yours can too. You know, if you can do it, just do it. There isn't a lot of time to waste. All right. Hey, those are our questions of the week. We love to hear from you. Here's how.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question, leave a comment, click the leave voicemail button on the right side of the rvpodcast.com blog. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Hey, if you're in the market for a Class B RV, you probably know they are in extremely high demand. They're hard to find in stock at many places. Well, that's why you want to check in with three dealers that we can recommend here. VanCityRV.com, they're in St. Louis. Creston RV, they are in Kalispell, Montana. And Wagon Trail RV, they are in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, these three dealerships are all owned by the same folks, and they specialize in Class B RVs, and they specialize in carrying them from all of the major small motorhome manufacturers. They have new and used Road Treks in stock on the lot right now, and they're all ready to deal. They sell road treks and pleasure ways and leisure travel vans and Class B pluses and other small motorhomes. They've got, as I said, new ones in stock. They got used ones in stock from all different model years. You need to go to the websites for these three dealers because they have that kind of shared inventory. VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, and WagonTrailRV.com. That's the beauty of the internet. You can shop around from the comfort of your home. You can zero in on the exact model you want and make your best deal. And because they are in three different areas of the country, chances are you will find what you are looking for at these three dealers. So there you go. We want you to check them out. And by the way, all those dealers, you make that deal on the internet, they have a great fly and drive program. They'll pick you up from the airport, and then they'll reimburse you up to $500 towards your airfare. And then they'll take you to the airport, pick you up at the airport, take you to the dealership. Your RV will be all fully prepped for you, ready for travel. They'll give you a full walkthrough on how everything works and send you off with full tanks of fuel and propane. Check them out, VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, and WagonTrailRV.com.
They say every dog has its day. In this part of the podcast, it's time for tips, resources, and travel advice about bringing pets on our RV adventures.
Mike and I are big fans of off-leash dog parks. It keeps Bo happy, healthy, and out of trouble. Not all dogs are good candidates for off-leash parks. Before you take your pet to one, make sure it has been socialized well and gets along with other dogs. Here are three reasons why PetMD says off-leash parks are a wise choice for pet owners. Number one, physical and mental exercise for dogs. Your dog can zoom around off-leash to her heart's content, investigate new smells, wrestle with her dog buddies, and fetch toys until she happily collapses. Many dogs are so mentally and physically exhausted by a trip to the dog park that they snooze for hours afterwards. Number two, opportunities to maintain social skills. Dogs are like us, highly social animals, and many enjoy spending time with their own species. At the dog park, your dog gets practice reading a variety of other dogs' body language and using her own communication skills. And she gets used to meeting unfamiliar dogs on a frequent basis. These valuable experiences can help guard against the development of fear and aggressive problems around other dogs. Number three, fun for pet parents. Dogs aren't the only ones who enjoy the dog park. People do too. They can exercise their dogs without much effort, socialize with other dog lovers, bond and play with their dogs, practice their off-leash training skills, and enjoy the entertaining antics of frolicking dogs. Do you have a pet tip about traveling with pets? Send it to me by using the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Thanks.
You know, we just came from the dog park. How long ago? An hour ago we were there with Bo.
We have been to the dog park twice today.
Well, you know, but we've been driving in our RV. He's just been cooped up in the RV, so we felt we had to get him exercise. So we got him some earlier today, and then we took him one more time tonight.
I'm just realizing I didn't get to go to the gym, and I had been riding in that van for 2 days.
Yeah, that's right.
Sitting on a plane.
Well, you can't go because you've got a broken paw.
I can still ride a bike.
Well,
do the elliptical
bright and
with
early,
one hand.
Bright and early in the
and
morning.
And walk.
But he really, this isn't traveling with Jennifer. This is traveling with dogs or pets.
Me.
So, yeah.
Excuse me.
But we do really, it's become really a lot of fun. It's very social for pet owners, too, as you hang
it
around
is,
and watch the other dogs.
It's a lot of fun, and you get to see people day after day. And
Yep.
So. Bo loves it. There were a lot of hooligans there tonight, so he had a good time running. In fact, right now, he has collapsed.
He has collapsed, and we're recording this very late the night before this podcast is released. It's released April or May 3rd, and it's pushing 11 o'clock, and we're pretty tired.
Yeah, so we're tired.
If we start slurring, we should, you know, Bo, we should be joining Bo in sleep. But anyway, the show must go on. Hey, the Jennifer's tip of the week for pets is brought to you by our friends at Dozer's Dental Chews. It's an all-natural and a very healthy treat that your dog will love. Available direct through Amazon, retailers, and pet shops across the U.S. Why Dozer's? Well, Dozer's are 100% all-natural ingredients. They're gluten-free. They're made right here in the USA, in upstate in New York. And the beauty of that and the importance of that is because if you've followed all of the problems about pet recalls and particularly pet treat recalls in recent years, you'll know that many of those were made, those treats were made in China or offshore. Not Dozer's. Dozer's are 100% all natural, healthy ingredients made in the USA. They're low in fat. There's absolutely no artificial coloring. There's no artificial flavors. There's no artificial preservatives. Dozer's cleans teeth, reduces plaque as your dog chews. It freshens their breath, and your dog will love it. Now, you can find Dozer's across the country. They are available at Amazon as well, but retailers and pet shops are carrying it. And if your pet shop doesn't tell them you want to try Dozer's, you've been hearing all about Dozer's, and you want to have them ask them to order some Dozer's, and you'll find them. They're at home goods stores, and like I said, if you can't find it at your local store and you want to get them right away, go through Amazon. Dozer's Dental Chews. Your pet's going to thank you for it. All right, our special guest in our Interview of the Week section is Jim Hamill. Jim is the CEO of the Irwin-Hymer Group of North America. That's the corporate owners of Road Trek Motorhomes. And I got a chance to sit down for an interview with him at that recent Super B small RV show out in Arizona that we attended this past weekend. And with Jim, we got to talk about a wide range of things about how the RV industry is booming and changing. We even got in a little politics in our discussion. And with that growth and change come all these new challenges and yet new opportunities. As I said at the very top of the story of the episode today at the intro, Jim is... there's never any words that you don't understand with Jim. He's a straight-talking, shoot-from-the-hip guy, and he really does tell it like it is. And he is our top interview this week. So let's bring Jim Hamill aboard the RV podcast. Well, joining us right now is Jim Hamill himself. We've actually caught him at a brief moment when the crowds have let go. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Hey, Mike. Glad to be here.
So let's talk about how fast the RV industry is changing, where it's headed, and what are the trends that you see that will be shaping the lifestyle of all these people who are so excited about this this way of traveling?
Well, I think the whole industry is going to be headed in a direction of more technology and ease of operation for people that own RVs, particularly motorized RVs, will head in the direction of more semi-autonomy or autonomous vehicles, more autonomous functions, which may mean just a portion of what you do is autonomous, where, for instance, the vehicle may communicate with you and tell you that your tanks need to be dumped or predict you have 1.5 days left in them, things like that. So there's just this amazing... a wealth of technology that exists in the world right now that has yet to be laterally transferred into the RV industry. And then there's the new stuff that's coming directly out of the RV industry itself. And, you know, at the Irwin-Hymer Group and Road Trek and Hymer, we're leading that because we really believe that that there's an opportunity in the RV industry to take this much larger. We think millions of units could be sold every year to people to enhance their lifestyle. And the industry right now needs to maybe give its head a shake and focus on what it takes in quality and delivery. And we're part of that. We need to get better, too. Everybody needs to get better.
What are the things that the industry has not adapted to well? One thing that comes to my mind, and it's related to the industry, is the lack of camping facilities. There just are not a lot of good campgrounds anymore, and more people are now in the RV lifestyle.
I agree with that. I think the industry is larger than vehicles. It's larger than product. It's an infrastructure problem that we have to look at in North America in particular, where cities, towns, municipalities are fighting RVs. They don't want more campgrounds. They don't want people to camp in places overnight that don't have plug-ins. The campground industry is fighting the changes because they're looking at the old way. I own a campground. I want to make people come here and spend $45 a night to be on a concrete pad 4 feet from other people on a concrete pad. And realistically, there is a market for that. But more, what has to happen is there has to be a rejinking, a realignment of the way people think and understand that people don't want to have to book a campsite 6 months in advance. They want flexibility, they want this and that, and municipalities still need to be able to get revenues enough to support them. So for instance, they can't charge building taxes on an RV campground. So the RV campground gets charged taxes based on a business and valuations. But think about this, there's a real problem with tax structure that allows people to move from community to community full time. No one's getting any revenue that pays the bills in those communities, so that's why there's resistance. It's changing the marketplace and the way the marketplace thinks. So they're going to have to find a way to do that, and it may mean more places to camp for less money. Like if you got told it was $5 a night to park, you would never have an issue with that. People wouldn't fight $5 a night to park, but it's potential municipalities could make a fortune using their empty parking lots at night for RVers.
At five like Walmart. Bucks a pop, yeah.
And no one would care. Like $5, who cares? Yeah. And so it's like a parking meter. No one cares about that cost.
Now, the other thing related to that is this whole movement towards boondocking or off the grid, away from an organized campground. Maybe it's a campsite in a national forest. But what where the industry as a whole seems to lag is on the technology of many RVs to actually be off that grid for extended periods of time. You guys have sort of led the whole boondocking movement with all of the EcoTrek system that you've come up with and solar. But as a whole, why is the industry so slow in seeing where people want to go?
The industry right now is very profitable. People make tin cans full of boxes and they sell them and they make money doing it. And when people are profitable and they don't have to compete, they will take the easy path every time. It's competition and more competition and better technology is the only way you're going to force it to happen. People aren't going to reinvent how they do business. And the RV industry as a whole relies upon the supply base to come up with technology. They're assemblers, not R&D developers, so to speak. They don't come up with new inventions, they assemble inventions. And so we are different than that. In the Erwin-Heimer Group and at Road Trek, we always have been this way where we invent things. We believe that we have to invent things that change the paradigm, that get us outside the box. We engineer, we develop. And that's what you're seeing. There are a number of small companies that are doing that. We might be a larger one. You know, Advanced R&D in Ohio, great company doing the same thing. Really like them, B-vans they build, and their technology is fantastic. So there's several, Leisure Travel, in my opinion, Triple E and Leisure Travel, they develop great products and great ideas in those products, and they don't wait for the industry. So when I look at the companies out there that have some push, and maybe, you know, Leisure Travel stuff isn't in the electrical technology, but it's still better product than everybody else makes. Advanced RV is in everything. You know, we're really looking at ways of getting people off the grid in every way. You know, how do you get more water? How do you get less sewage disposal? That may not mean more dumping. It may not mean more capacity. It may mean different ways of handling waste. It may, and not just the traditional ones that you see that are out there, or even the non-traditional ones. We may have to invent a different way to handle waste in order to get people off the grid. But you have to do these things. You have to push it because, I mean, I would love, when I'm 50 years old, I would love to be able to say I'm taking a month and going to Montana, and I'm going into the mountains, and I'm going to go to a national forest for a month. And I don't have to get water, and I don't have to get power, and I don't have to dump. I'm going to be there for a month, and I'm going to do my thing, and as long as I have enough food, I might be able to work from there. Yeah. And it's the environment I work in I can change.
Which leads to the whole question about the changing nature of the customer in the RV industry. What have you seen, and let's just go back even 5 years, how is today's RV buyer different than what was out there 5-6 years ago?
That's absolutely the right question. Here's the definitive difference. It's not age. It's not I'm a millennial or a Gen Xer or a baby boomer. It's not that. Here's the difference. People today have decided that their life is different than our parents were. Our parents said, we're going to work until we're this age, and then we're going to retire and relax. People today are saying, why would I wait that long? Why wouldn't I do both now? Like, that's not my priority today is not to work until I'm 65 and then retire. My priority today is to work, raise a great family, live a great life, enjoy that life all the way along, not wait until I'm 65 and buy an RV. That's the primary difference. So it's very clear the people today are prepared to, but they plan, they want quality, they want ease of use, they want all these things, they're prepared to pay for it, but they want to be out there now. I had a gentleman yesterday buy a Road Trek Simplicity. He's 41 years old, he has his own business, he has a kid, he lives here in the Phoenix area, and he says, I'm 41, I'm not waiting until I'm 65 to get out there and do this stuff. We're going out now and doing this stuff. So that's the primary difference. And our buyer has dropped in age by like 15 years on average in the last 10 years. So it's we were 65-year-old couples and individuals. Now we're literally 50-year-olds is our average. We have lots of 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds doing it as well. And it's that philosophy. It's I'm getting out there now.
One of the related questions with that is what do they want? What have their, besides this getting out and enjoying it now, what are the amenities that they want in an RV now that's different than 5 years ago?
People do not want to buy a puzzle.
That's a very good expression.
Okay, they do not want to have to decipher how it works. And this is one of the challenges we have with technology. You know, you could used to buy a tin can full of boxes from one of the big manufacturers. You push one button to turn the battery on. And when your battery was dead, your battery was dead. And there was no solar, and there were no lithium batteries, and there were no volt start systems, and there were no automated systems, and you didn't have LED lights and things. So there's the simple way, which is reduce power usage completely and live in your box only and camp. The people today want, I don't want to camp. I want to enjoy where I am. I do not want to be uncomfortable. You know, I'm an old soldier, and when I was in the infantry, we had this saying, only a fool is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the view of people today. They want to be able to be out in those beautiful places, which include cities, which includes the mountains, which includes the forest, but they do not want to suffer to do it. They do not want to go 5 days without a shower. They do not want to have an uncomfortable experience. And so we're providing comfort, and that's where the industry is headed.
Now, the Class B market itself, the smaller motorhomes, continues to just grow exponentially almost.
Yeah, we've doubled in size this year. 100% growth year over year.
100%. And that's just hard to even fathom. With that, though, has come some problems, have they not, in the supply chains? I mean, you can't get enough Sprinter chassis.
Yeah, we can't. You can't get enough chassis on time to meet everybody's needs. And I think, you know, that's one of the challenges that exists. Also, technology-wise, not just the chassis. You know, I developed my own lithium battery system, which is fantastic, the EcoTrek system. You know, there's a supply chain behind that. I have to go back to the cell manufacturers and say, okay, I'm doubling. I need another 60,000 cells. And they go, well, wait a minute. And then they have to go to their supplier, who's a miner of lithium. I mean, we're talking about a supply chain that doesn't react to this kind of growth that quickly. You know, you've got everything from rare earth manufacturers that have to be involved all the way up, and then you got huge. These things don't put themselves together. These people who put these things together are my people. Are like the best people. You can't just say somebody off the street, okay, I'm going to hire you, even if you're a great person, and say, okay, start putting vans together. They have to be trained. And not only trained, they have to do it more than one time. They have to do it multiple times before they become good at every individual task. And we have great people. So the whole industry is suffering with that right now, finding the enough people that want to do this kind of work, that enjoy craftsmanship, that enjoy building things that people want to have as opposed to need to have. This is not robotics. And it will never be robotics. It's a very human business.
With kind of a related question about challenges, and I hate to always get into politics, but nevertheless, you guys are primarily a Canadian manufacturing firm. What concerns do you have about the administration, the U.S. administration's talk about dumping NAFTA or renegotiating NAFTA? Is that an issue that the RV buyer ought to be aware of?
I think it's something that we're all watching closely as Canadians. I don't have a tendency, and I don't think Canadians have a tendency to overreact to rhetoric and negotiation. It's clear that negotiation in the method that's been happening right now is to make a big issue out of something in order to scare people ahead of time. That's something that I'm very familiar with. I'm in business. That's called leverage. Yeah. And leverage is a negotiation tactic. It's not something that's a big negative at all. You can respect each other and still leverage each other. So am I concerned as a Canadian that I'm going to get hit with tariffs on product coming into the United States? It will possibly happen, but I doubt it, because we have so much interchange of automotive businesses between our countries. I see that as very low. I do know that there's the bigger issues in politics right now are softwood lumber and dairy, where the Canadian government subsidizes those.
Yeah.
And so the U.S. government wants that to be fixed, and I don't disagree with them. I think most Canadians look at that and say, well, if it's not fair, fix it.
So back to the ultimate arbiter of all of this, the consumer. Any red flags on the horizon for them? When the question is always, what's the best time to buy? We're, of course, at an RV show, and they've got great prices. But last part of this to talk about is, for those who are thinking about doing this, is your old tape measure rule still there? Get out there now, or is there stuff around the horizon?
I think, I think right now is a really interesting time to buy. I can say this. I really feel it's that when the market is at its highest point is when product sells at the fairest price, because the dealers in particular control most of the pricing issues. And if they're selling 1,000 vehicles a month, you know, if you look at, we're at this show right now with La Mesa, and they sold more than 1,000 vehicles at La Mesa last month. Mm-hmm. They aren't charging super high prices. No dealers are. All dealers are going to be extraordinarily competitive with customers when the market's at its highest point. You're going to get the best interest rates. You're going to get that. From a technology perspective, I think right now we're at this point where we introduced all this EcoTrek technology, Voltstart, solar, all this stuff, and we're at the point now where it's really refined itself so that it's completely reliable and people are enjoying long trips using running air conditioning all night on batteries, and it's just crazy how good that technology is. I think we're in a lull now where the next phase, autonomous vehicles, things like that, are a few years out.
Self-driving RVs.
Right, and I think that will come. We're licensed as the very first manufacturer of one. And I think, just talking about that in general, there's never been a better time to buy, because in my mind, when I'm looking around this building, all the products by all the manufacturers are at a high point in the last 10 or 12 years. All of them are better than they were. The industry is better than it was, and it's getting better all the time. The dealers are thriving. People are positive. Campsites are fantastic. You know, most people don't know this, but it's free to camp in Canada this year.
Yeah.
In the public parks.
We interviewed Parks Canada a couple of months ago on the podcast. Anybody.
I actually should know this stuff. And I took my kids to Banff a couple weeks ago. And I drove into Banff National Park, and the lady reached out and handed me my free pass for the whole year.
Yeah. Well, we'll be in Banff in a couple of weeks. Jim, thanks so much for making some time. Always great to hear your candor. You do not mince your words, and people appreciate that.
Hey, I love it. This is a great industry to be in. I get to deal with people. It's a people industry, and thanks very much, Mike.
The interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com in Gainesville, Florida, where every new or used Road Trek motorhome they sell is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. Yeah, you heard me right. You buy a new Road Trek or a used Road Trek from Sunshine State RVs in Gainesville, Florida, and they'll deliver it to your driveway, no matter where you happen to be. At Sunshine State RVs, you'll find a large selection. And we were there a few weeks ago, and I could not believe how many pre-owned Class B RVs they had right in their lot. I took a drone up, actually, and took some photos of it. There were so many of them. I'm telling you, if you're looking for a Class B RV, you need to either make a trip online or in person to sunny Florida and Gainesville and visit Nick Schmidt and his team at Sunshine State RVs. They carry all of the popular brands. They have, oh my goodness, everybody. They have Road Trek. They have Pleasure Way. I saw Winnebago's there. Leisure travel vans were there. Many, many more. I don't think you will find a wider selection of used Class B RVs anywhere else in the country. And every RV they sell has been through a very thorough 172-point inspection in which they make sure you know that all the mechanical, all the manual systems are in top condition. Every RV they sell is road tested to make sure that it runs and it drives the way it should. They go over the interior and the exterior. Every component is turned on and tested. Now, that's on the pre-owned ones. Now, their used RVs. Their new ones are also, they go through the same system. And then they give you an exacting time is no issue walkthrough of how the unit works. Now, you can make your deal online. Give them a call. You can go to SunshineStateRVs.com and talk to Nick Schmidt and his team, and you will find what you want. More used Class B RVs than I've seen anywhere in the country. And they're also a brand new dealer. They got one of just about every kind of Road Trek motorhome, brand new one in stock right now on their lot. SunshineStateRVs.com.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Well, there was a big survey released by the RVIA, the Recreational Vehicle Industry Association, and they did this study, and they say now that a record 8.9 million American households now own an RV, and that is a new record. It was the old record was in 2005. It was 7.9 million. Now it is 8.9 million, and it shows this survey who's buying. For example, they found that the median income for RV owners is $62,000. About 39% of RVers have children under 18 at home, and ownership among those 55 or older rose to 9.3%. So you can see it's a much younger crowd than a lot of people thought that are in the RV industry. This profile was conducted by an economist at the University of Michigan. It was sponsored by the Recreation Vehicle Industry Association. And I will put a link to that survey. You can look at more of it. It'll be on the show notes for this episode, which is roadtrekking.com/138. A reminder of a sad, sad story from Michigan's Upper Peninsula, but a reminder of how you need to be prepared with a couple of things, a cell phone and warm clothing. Even though the weather may seem great, it can change quickly when you're out in the wilderness. And a very sad story of a college student who died of hypothermia while he was out camping in Michigan's Upper Peninsula with friends. A 19-year-old student was one of six Michigan Technological University students who were on a hiking trip up in the UP there. And this 19-year-old man left the campsite apparently in the early morning hours. He was going to go out and gather some firewood, and he didn't show up. He didn't come back. So he got disoriented. He got lost. His fellow hikers searched for some time, and they finally located him. He was wet. He was cold. They built a fire to warm him up. Eventually, they helped him back to the base camp where they thought his condition seemed to improve. But once there, he quickly began to deteriorate, and they didn't have a cell phone signal there. By the time they got a signal out, several hours had gone by. Rescue people did come in. Emergency responders came in. They took him to the hospital, and unfortunately, he died. But the example here, folks, is the weather can change so quick. So quick. You do not want to be wet, and you do not want to be cold, and you don't want to be out of cell phone signal range. Make sure somebody always knows where you are, and gosh, be prepared. Our hearts go out for those college kids who are out there just on a hike, you know, on an overnight camping hike, and terrible story, but a reminder, and if that saves somebody's life, being reminded to be prepared, then so be it. That's some good that can come out of that. One more story, and I said in that interview, Jim Hamill, I don't like talking politics on this podcast, but sometimes you have to. And there's a lot of nervous skepticism going on right now about the Trump administration and an executive order it has issued to review the status of national monuments, all the most recent national monuments of over 100,000 acres that were designated by the last three presidents. There's 20 of them in all, and they include the 1.3 million acre Bears Ears National Monument, the new national monument in the remote desert canyon lands of southern Utah, which was designated by President Obama last year. He created, Obama, by the way, created more national monuments than any other president. This has gotten everybody mad out there in Utah, particularly Republican politicians out in Utah who want the land available for possible gas, oil, or mining use. And Trump has indicated that he is not in favor of that national monument and ordered a review. But now he's ordered a whole bunch of others. There's 19 others besides Bears Ears, including Northeast Canyons and Seamounts National Marine Monument, which was about a 4,900 square mile area off the coast of New England that protects a bunch of different species, underwater species like sea corals and sperm, fin, and whales, Kemp's Ridley sea turtles, deep sea fish. So that's one that was the first national marine monument out there. There's another one, the Snow National Monument in Southern California, about 154,000 acres. Previously designated, about 100,000 of that were designated wilderness by Congress, but that was added to in February of last year. And the administration wants to review that. Other one is the Mojave Trails National Monument, 1.6 million acres, a quarter of that previously congressionally designated wilderness. So we don't know what the status of these national monuments will be. It's under investigation now. The Interior Department and others looking at that, and the Trump administration signaling that it's not doesn't think necessarily that these big national monuments are in the public's interest. I think you'll see a big battle over all of those coming up. But 20 national monuments that were designated by the last three presidents are now under review, and who knows what will happen there. Hey, links to all these stories under the News of the Week section on the RoadTrekking.com podcast, RoadTrekking.com website. The RV Podcast is the name of this program. Just scroll down the show notes, and you'll find them. If you want to go directly to the URL for the show notes, it's roadtrekking.com/138. News of the Week is brought to you by Aldi, A-L-D-E. That's the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV. The Aldi Hydronic System is an amazing system. It brings you so many benefits, so many features that you can't find in any other RV heating product. Why is Aldi so good? Because it's a silent, radiant, comfortable heat, a warm, even, natural heated interior is what it produces. It's kind of like that high-end baseboard heat that you get in estate-type homes. The Aldi system, it gives you increased interior space. It combines essentially two systems in one, your heating system and your hot water system as well. It's incredibly efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC. It will extend the life of your propane about 40% over forced air. And you have lots of great options. The one that we used this very morning, in fact, as we were camped out and it got down into the upper 40s and a little cool, heated floors. You get up in the middle of the night or early in the morning, and that heated floor is really a great luxury. The Aldi heating system is now available on many different RV platforms. You can find it on Road Trek RVs, Airstream, the Airstream Interstate Airstream RVs, and New Camp RVs as well. Aldi, A-L-D-E, it's the only name you need to know when you're choosing a heating system for your RV.
With technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
All right, time to check in with our pal Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
Hi, Mike. I hope you're enjoying your new Samsung Galaxy S8 device as much as I am. And as for your listeners out there who just got one or are thinking about it, I wanted to share a few cool new things to help you get the most out of it. Well, first, the front camera is now 8 megapixel, meaning your selfies are looking oh so much better. But did you know that you don't have to push the button to take a photo? Just hold up your palm somewhere in the viewfinder and the phone will set a 2-second timer and take your picture. This helps for those of us who maybe move a bit when we try to take a selfie. Also, as part of the camera feature is a setting called Selective Focus. This will really make your selfies or traditional photos look like a portrait. To enable this mode, swipe right on the screen after you open your camera. Choose Selective Focus. Now when you take a picture, it'll separate your subjects from the background and give a professional look. Looking to take a screenshot? Well, if you want the whole thing, you just press your power and volume down buttons together. But let's say you only want part of the screen and would prefer it cropped as a circle. Well, that is totally doable. Swipe left on the edge panel, which is on the right-hand side of the screen near the power button. Swipe left on that menu until you see Smart Select. Now choose rectangle or oval and select the area of the screen you'd like to copy. It is easy as that. And lastly, I know a lot of your listeners take videos as they travel around the country. But sometimes we don't want to use all the videos we took. Fortunately, editing videos even with captions is now a breeze. Open up your Galaxy apps and search for Video Editor. This downloads a free Samsung Video Editor for the S8. Well, now you can edit down the videos you have, add in transitions, captions, title screens, and even music. Your home movies are definitely going to a new level. With this week's Traveling Technology Tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Yes, I am using the new Samsung S8 Plus. That's the super large 5.2-inch screen. It's amazing, the detail, the beautiful screen. I'm having some trouble getting used to it. You know, I use an iPhone for half the year, and then the other half the year, I switch to the best of the Android. So that way, I kind of know all the different apps, and I know both phone platforms well. Well, I just switched to the brand new Samsung Galaxy 8 Plus, and I'm getting used to the differences in the Android and the Apple operating system, but I really am coming to like this phone a lot. It really does a nice job. I did all of our Facebook Live interviews with it last weekend at the show out in Phoenix that we were at. And I don't know how many of you have been to our YouTube channel, but if you want to see what kind of video it produces, you can see those Facebook Live reports. They're automatically on our YouTube channel. I've got like over 200 videos on our YouTube channel, and that's Mike and Jennifer's RV Lifestyle channel. Just go to YouTube and search for Mike and Jennifer's RV Lifestyle channel, and you can see how good that Samsung Galaxy 8S Plus does in taking some really great video. I mean, the quality of this, the cameras on that phone are amazing. Hey, the Traveling Technology Tip of the Week is always sponsored by our friends at Verizon Wireless, the most reliable, the best network in terms of quality, performance. Survey after survey shows that. If you're stuck on the wrong network, head over to Verizon and get yourself unstuck.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, I guess this week our regular Off the Beaten Path reports, Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hi, Jennifer and Mike. As Europeans moved westward across the North American continent, they found a variety of artifacts left behind by earlier cultures. Even more have been discovered in recent times. Think petroglyphs, cliff dwellings, cave art, and totem poles. Throughout the Midwest and stretching south to northern Alabama and Mississippi can be found a variety of earthen mounds. Many of the most striking of these are in Ohio. Southeastern Ohio boasts Fort Ancient and the Great Serpent Mound, and a bit farther north you can visit the Great Circle and Octagon Earthworks.
The small city of Newark is home to the latter two structures, which are on the short list to be designated World Heritage Sites. Early explorers thought these might be burial mounds and dug into them hoping for treasures and ancient bones. We know now they're mostly ceremonial, built for gatherings and celebrations. 1,000 years ago, the Adena and Hopewell people marked specific lunar events at this site. Modern astronomers and astro-tourists gather here for the periodic alignments. The next one will occur in 2024. Archaeologists and historians are unsure why these events were important to the cultures that built the mounds, but it's clear they were.
Even if you're not here for a lunar viewing, there's plenty to see. The Eagle Mound in the center of the Great Circle is interesting, as is the small museum on the grounds. In nearby Granville, you can see the Alligator Mound, protected by a traffic circle in the middle of the upscale Brindu subdivision. While you're in the area, take time to see the site of the first lock on the Ohio and Erie Canal and tour the Hebron State Fish Hatchery. If you're especially lucky, your visit will coincide with one of the periodic tours of the unique floating cranberry bog on nearby Buckeye Lake.
Ohio has several other mounds to visit. The Great Serpent between Columbus and Cincinnati is the largest effigy mound in the U.S. and features an interesting museum and an elevated viewing platform that's perfect for photos. Also along Interstate 71, the Fort Ancient earthworks are interpreted by rangers who convey their vast knowledge with enthusiasm and flair. For true mound junkies, a variety of smaller earthworks cluster in this part of the state, and most are publicly accessible.
Summer can be pretty brutal in the Buckeye State, but spring and fall are frequently delightful. Spring arrives with abundant wildflowers and flowering trees, and fall offers autumn colors to rival New England. Roads are less crowded and the pace more relaxed. Canoeing and rafting are great in the spring, festivals and fairs in the fall. There are numerous boondocking opportunities in the Wayne National Forest and along the Ohio River. Come for the mounds, and you'll find much more to pique your interest. We'll be looking for you out there, maybe just over the top of the next mound, off the beaten path.
Thanks, Tom and Patty Burkett, the Burketts are our regular Off the Beaten Path reports, and how we appreciate their work. We'll put a link to this whole piece that they said on our show notes, roadtrekking.com/138. Hey, the Off the Beaten Path section of the RV podcast, sponsored each week by our friends at Steinbring Motor Coach, Road Trek's brand new dealer, newest dealer in North America for Road Trek, Steinbring Motor Coach, and a third generation family business. They're located in suburban Minneapolis, and this dealership has been built on quality motorhomes, excellent pricing, and award-winning service. Since 1917, the Steinbring family has been bringing you the best products, the best service within the transportation industry. These days, it's in the recreation vehicle industry. The sales staff at Steinbring Motor Coach will, if you just added them all up, these guys have decades of experience in the RV industry. They're celebrating, by the way, the whole dealership, 100 years in business. As I said, it's a third generation family business, and that is so important. That's the family name at stake, and they treat every customer as if they're part of the Steinbring family as well. Along with being named a Blue Ribbon Dealer by RV Business Magazine, Steinbrings has been named a top 50 dealer so many times I couldn't even begin to list each year after year. Now, they offer new and used Newmar Class A motorhomes. And as I said, they're also the brand new dealer for Road Trek Class B motorhomes. Also on sale at Steinbring Motor Coach is pre-owned coaches from, oh my goodness, every major brand that you could find, like Road Trek, obviously, Winnebago, Itasca, Tiffin, Fleetwood, Holiday Rambler, Monaco, along with a wide selection of consignment coaches on sale as well. So whether you're looking for a Class A, a Class B, Class C, a diesel pusher, gas, toy hauler, be sure and find it at Steinbrings. Just check out their website, Steinbring Motor Coach. Check them out. We'll put a link on our show notes page, and you can find them there as well. And along with award-winning sales, they offer award-winning service as well. And you can trust the Steinbring family to make your RV lifestyle dream come true.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
All right, one show this weekend. As I've been saying here for the past couple of weeks, the RV show calendar is getting pretty slim because, well, why do you think? Because everybody is out traveling. They're not going to too many shows. They'll all pretty much end up this week, and then they'll all, of course, start up again in the fall. But right now, there's one for all of you out in the northwest part of the country, up in Pulliup, Washington. The Washington State Fair Events Center is the location of a big Pulliup RV show up there May 4th through the 7th. And check that out. It's a great thing to do. A great way to shop for an RV is to visit a show because you can see all of the RVs in one place and you don't have to go traveling from dealer to dealer. They're all right there. And you can check out that show and all the other ones we talk about each week on the RV calendar.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Somewhere off the beaten path.
Well, thank you all so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. We hope that wherever you are getting out there off the beaten path yourself. Remember, this podcast is released every single Wednesday. Come about 8 a.m. Eastern Time, it's available for you to listen to. And the best way for you to know about it is to subscribe to it on iTunes or Stitcher or the Google Play Store or whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. Of course, you can also listen to it from the roadtrekking.com blog. New episodes every Wednesday morning. The show goes on no matter what. Like even tonight, it's like a few minutes now before midnight on Wednesday, and we're still putting it together. But we will have it out for you as we do every Wednesday. You can count on it. Hey, please check us out every Wednesday and tell your friends about it too, the RV Podcast. I'm Mike Wendland. On behalf of my wife, Jennifer, and our dog, Bo, we say thanks for putting us in your ear. So long. We'll see you next week.